Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
We're going to read some scripture and then we're going to pray. If you could stay with me, Matt, that would be amazing. We're going to read an account from Luke chapter 8. And it says this, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying." Then further on it says that while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." And when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside. He took her by the hand and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she rose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Wow. Let's pray, huh? We just close our eyes. If you're comfortable, maybe just want to lift your hands right now. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence here. We thank you for this incredible miracle that was performed in your presence. We thank you for what you did and for the example that you set. And God, today, as we are here gathered in your presence, we desire that you would come and do a work in our hearts. Let us surrender fully to you and be open to what you want to say and what you want to speak. Let us be ready to receive all that you have for us, and to walk out of here a little bit different to how we came in. And so we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your love. We thank you for your power in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Thank you, Matt. That was stunning. What a beautiful sense of the presence of God here, huh? And what an incredible miracle we just read in Luke 8. Just stunning. Imagine being in the room for that. Imagining experiencing that miracle happening right before your eyes. I love reading those accounts in scripture of the miracles that Jesus performed and how he just did things that completely stunned and amazed the people around him. But I also love reading these accounts and just seeing how Jesus responds to the situations and the people that he encounters in these moments. Just look at how he treated the mourners in this account. As he goes in to see Jairus' daughter, it tells us that he put them out. It says that he sent them out of the room, perhaps even sent them out of the house, and he shut the door. And if you and I were there, we would probably look at Jesus and what he was doing and think, "Jesus, that is a little bit harsh. Jesus, that's not very pastoral of you." But shouldn't you be going around comforting everyone? When you're in a situation like that where people are grieving, shouldn't you be the one who's coming in and being the shoulder to cry on and going there and encouraging? Shouldn't you be doing that? But no, he sends them all out. These people who have come to mourn. And now some of them, in truth, some of them may have been paid to come to mourn. It was actually a very typical thing in those times. That when someone passed away, there were actually mourners who were paid to come and add to the sense of grief and sadness around that moment. So you would have had a mix of people who are paid to be there and people who are probably friends and family and the neighbours and all of that gathered in the house. And so they were present doing just what was very appropriate, just what was very reasonable for them to be doing in that moment. Because right before them, this young girl had died. That she was dead, there is no doubt. We see it in the way they respond when Jesus says to them, "She's not dead, she's sleeping." Then they all ridicule him, right? Because they knew she was dead. But Jesus knew something else. And we can see in the way that he responds to that situation, the way that he puts the mourners out and shuts the door, that he was demonstrating a different way to respond to this situation than a normal everyday person would respond by just looking at what was in front of them and bringing a reaction or a response to that. This interaction between Jesus and these mourners highlights an issue that they were facing in that moment. And it highlights something to us today, that we are predisposed to respond to the world around us according to what we see and experience, rather than from our perspective of faith. Because that's why Jesus has put these mourners out, right? Because he didn't want any doubt in the room. He didn't want people who were just going to reaffirm the difficult situation that was in front of them. He wanted people in the room who were going to come in and add to an atmosphere of faith. He wanted people that were going to come into that room, like Peter, James, and John, with an expectation that something was going to shift and something was going to change. That is who he wanted in that room. And so often when I've read this account, I can really relate to these mourners though. Though Jesus treated them how he did, though Jesus sent them out, I can relate to them because I have been like that. I have been in those moments where I've experienced a difficult situation, or I'm going through a difficult time, or I'm believing for something and I'm just not seeing it come about. And so just like those mourners did, just like the people around Jairus' daughter did, instead of coming believing for a breakthrough, they just laid her down to rest. And so often we can respond that way, right? When we're not seeing the breakthrough, we're not seeing things restored, when we're not seeing things made right, that instead of persisting and coming in with an expectation of faith, we respond by what's right in front of us and we come instead with that sense of doubt. That's never going to happen for me. That's never going to change. That I'm always going to struggle with my mental health. That my marriage is always going to be difficult. That my body's never going to recover. That I'm never going to get that breakthrough in my business. I'm never going to see God's purposes fulfilled in my life. And so I just lay those things to rest because of that sense of doubt. And this is why Jesus demonstrates this for us in this account, that we need to put the doubt out. We need to put the doubt out of our lives and start to bring the faith in. That no matter what we're faced with, no matter what we are dealing with, we come with a perspective of faith. We come with an expectation and a perspective that says, I know that my God can move and that he has a power that is beyond what I could perceive right now. That he wants to bring about his plan and his purpose. And so today I want you to speak to you on this thought, put out the doubt. Put out the doubt. You see, one of the reasons that Jesus is showing us that we need to put out the doubt is because doubt does not overcome. Faith does. Doubt does not overcome. Faith does. And this is a truth that is very simple to say, but it's not so simple to live by. It can be quite challenging, right? Because like I said already, we predispose to respond to our situations and our circumstances, but what we see right in front of us. And what we see right in front of us doesn't always confirm what we need to believe by faith in. Because what we see right in front of us is a representation of the world around us, not necessarily a representation of what Jesus desires to do in our life. The disciple John wrote this about faith in 1 John 5:4. He said, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith. Our faith. And so when John starts to share this scripture, when John speaks this, he's bringing this principle that if we are born of God, that means if we're born again, if we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we are equipped to overcome the world. And the reason he can say this is because having faith in God is that key to being born again. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that is an act of faith. That is where you have heard the good news of the gospel. You've seen people show the love of Jesus and you've made a decision in your heart to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior as an act of faith. And so you are born again. And so the key to that is faith. And if that is the case, then the key to victory is also faith. Not that kind of spur of the moment, emotional kind of response faith, but that kind of ongoing faith. That kind of faith we heard about this week, if you went to Connect, you would have heard about the kind of faith that we live in when we abide in Jesus. When we live and walk out our lives close to Jesus, we have this sense of ongoing faith that carries us through everything that we come across. This is the kind of faith that is without worldly reference or reason. It is not dependent on what is happening around you. But this faith is dependent only on Jesus Christ. We know that the Bible says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. That means he is the perfecter of faith. And if we keep our eyes on him, then we can continue to walk out our lives from that perspective of faith rather than getting caught up in what is happening around us and the reality of the world that we can see in front of us. Because you see, faith does not come from looking at the world. Faith comes from looking to Jesus. That is where faith comes. It comes from looking to Jesus. And sometimes that faith brings us an outworking of breakthrough and victory that can seem to happen in just a moment. It can seem to happen in that moment we pray, there's a breakthrough. In the moment we declare it, we feel things shift and change. I remember having a time when Toby, my eldest son, was much younger and he would struggle with croup from time to time. And Mark was working away and I was home with him and Jonah, who was a couple of years younger than him at the time. And I remember being up at 2 o'clock in the morning with this child who was in my bed coughing. And I was trying to decide what to do and thinking I'm going to have to pack them all up and take them to the hospital and all of those things. And I just thought in that moment, you know what? I need to pray. So I did that thing, and maybe you've done that too, where you kind of just tick the box and you say, I've prayed. I just got down on my knees beside the bed and laid my hands on Toby and I just prayed, Jesus, please heal him. And then I stood up, ready to do all the things, to pack them all up and take them to the hospital. But in that moment, as I stood up, I felt God say to me, is that it? Is that it? Is that all you're going to do? Because you see, I wasn't actually praying from a place of faith. I was praying because I felt that there was probably something I should do before I packed them up and took them to the hospital. And then when God convicted me of that, I was like, yes, right, okay. I begin to pace up and down in the room and I begin to declare scriptures over him. And as I did that, I felt something shift and something change, not just in that moment in Toby, but also in me. And I felt this authority rise in me that said, you know what? No, this is, I am a child of God and I live and I walk by faith and not by sight. He might be lying here in this bed coughing, but right now I am believing that the Lord God who reigns over all things will bring about his plan and purpose in this moment. And I prayed. And by the end of that, Toby was fast asleep. He'd finished coughing. There was nothing happening. He was completely restored in that moment. It was a miracle of God. It was a breakthrough moment. And as I stood in faith, I saw this outworked right there in that moment. That's what standing in faith can look like. But standing in faith can also look like something that doesn't necessarily represent what we would see as that breakthrough moment or that success. You know, Jesus said this as well about living by faith to overcome. He said this in John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. There's a promise none of us want to live by. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We love this word. It's so encouraging, right? Jesus spoke this word just hours before he went to the cross. He declared this to his disciples. Just as he was about to have nails put through his hands and his feet, as he was about to die and be placed in a tomb. Sometimes when we are standing in faith to believe something to come about, it doesn't look like success according to the world. Jesus dying on the cross did not look like success to the people around him, right? it looked like a disaster had happened. It looked like things had not gone according to plan. The cross looked very much like defeat. But sometimes faith can look very much like standing firm in who you know God is and who you know He's called you to be, regardless of what is going on around you. Sometimes standing in faith means just standing firm in that knowledge and that conviction, even when everything around you is falling apart. Sometimes faith can mean just continuing to put one step in front of the other, even when things are not going according to plan. Sometimes faith can look like continuing to believe that by His stripes you were healed, even when your body is unwell. Sometimes faith just means continuing to believe that God is going to do a work in your relationships, even if you're yet to see them restored, even if you're living in constant dysfunction. It's believing and holding on and knowing that God is still who He is, that God is still on the throne, even when everything around you is falling apart. Sometimes faith can look like that. And there's probably many of you today that are in that season right now, where you are standing in faith, where you are holding on to who you know God is and who God has said you are or has called you to be, even though everything around you is not going right. And I want to encourage you today, this is a word for you. This is a word for you that God is with you in that season of challenge, that God is with you in that season of difficulty, and that you are not condemned just because things are not going right, that you can continue to walk by faith. That's what Paul says about faith to us in 2 Corinthians 5:7. He says, we walk by faith and not by sight. That word walk refers to the way that we conduct our lives. It's an everyday, ordinary thing that, praise God, most of us can do, that we can walk. It means that the outworking of your everyday, ordinary life is done by faith. That you can go to work and you can bring faith to work. That you can take your kids to daycare by faith. That you can bring faith to washing the dishes. You can bring faith to walking the dog. You can bring faith to your relationships. You can bring faith to every part of your life. Paul is saying, we walk by faith. That is how we live out our lives. We live out our lives by faith. We parent by faith. We invest into our marriage by faith. We bring faith into every aspect of our lives, and we live from that perspective. We don't live by sight. We don't live by what we see right in front of us, but rather we respond from that perspective of faith. We put the doubt out and we bring the faith in. We put the doubt out and we bring the faith in. It's a constant tension that we live in, isn't it? That we're constantly faced with doubt. We're constantly faced with things in front of us that may deny what we know to be true in Jesus Christ, we know to be true in His word. And so we have to be constantly at work, putting the doubt out, bringing the faith in. Putting the doubt out, bringing the faith in. Yeah, we're all nodding, right? Because it's what we have to do day in, day out. When you walk into your workplace, you've got to put the doubt out and bring the faith in. Put the doubt out, bring the faith in. It is how we walk out our lives. Because doubt will not cause us to overcome. Only faith will. Only faith will. And that does not mean that we're the kind of people that live in denial of the reality that we're in. Come on, we know that's just silly, right? And like Pastor Ken has taught us, we acknowledge the facts. We acknowledge the reality we're in. We acknowledge the feelings. We acknowledge that we might need to go and get professional help or see a doctor or whatever it might be, but we respond in faith. We respond in faith. We continually bring it before the Lord. We continually stand on the word. We continually come with an expectation that we are going to see the Lord move in that situation. We continually put the doubt out and bring the faith in. Put the doubt out and bring the faith in. If you're anything like me, This is not always a comfortable place to live in, right? It can be a very uncomfortable space to be living or attempting to live by faith when everything around you says otherwise. It can be an uncomfortable place to be in. But you know what? We have an opportunity every day to choose whether we're going to live in the discomfort of living by faith, or we're going to lay down and be stagnant and give in to living by doubt. And I think this account of Jairus' daughter is such a picture of what can happen when we allow doubt to remain, when we allow doubt to take hold, when we allow doubt to take root. It's such a picture of what can happen to us, that it can cause us to be restrained and restricted in the kind of life that God has called us to live in. That when we allow doubt to take hold, if we constantly live in that place of doubting that God can do anything, or doubting that anything's going to change or anything's going to shift, it can cause us to be the kind of people who are laid down. Like Jesus said, they're not dead, they're sleeping. Asleep to the things of God. Asleep to what God wants to do in our lives. Asleep to what God is calling us to, because we have given into that sense of doubt. Because we've given into that place of thinking and living by sight instead of by faith. This is what God says that He desires to do in us. This is what God says He's calling us into. In Ephesians 3:20, Paul said, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." That is what it means to live by faith. He wants to do more than we could ask. He wants to do more than we can think. He wants to cause us to live, or He wants to do through us, more than we could even imagine in our minds. Think of the most crazy, audacious, extravagant thing that God could do in your life, and He wants to do more than that. He wants to do more than that. He wants to bring more into your life than you could ever ask or think. And so today He's calling us, church, not to be a people who succumb to doubt and lay down under the stagnancy that comes with that, but rather rise up. To put the doubt out, bring the faith in, and rise up into all that God has called us to walk in. You know, in Hebrews 1:11 it says, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's the proof of what's about to happen. The faith that you hold, that you stand in, that you walk in, whether it's something that you've been journeying through for a long time or it's something you just need to believe for in a moment, that faith is the evidence of what's about to happen. That faith is the evidence of the overcoming power that God wants to bring to bear onto that situation. It's the things that are unseen. You see, maturity is coming to this place of believing, of living in faith, regardless of what happens around us. This is God's plan and purpose for every single one of us as we outlive our lives on this earth. That we would become a people that are more and more attuned to living a life of faith than we are living by sight. And that takes a transformation, right? That takes a change to happen in us. And that's why Paul wrote this in Romans 12:2. He said, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, He's not saying be transformed by renewing your body. For everyone who doesn't want to go to the gym, you just went, amen, I heard you. He didn't say you're going to be transformed because your social media feed looks amazing. He didn't say you're going to be transformed because you're just getting all those promotions at work. He didn't say you're going to be transformed because your kids are getting A's. He didn't say you're going to be transformed because your bank account's looking good. He said you're going to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And so often we chase after all of those other things, looking for that transformation to happen in our lives, looking for that shift to happen, looking for the doubt to be cast out, where instead what we need to do is we need to go to the Word of God. We need to go to that place of prayer. We need to put ourselves in church on Sunday, in a connect group every fortnight, as God starts to rewire and renew our minds and brings about a transformation in us that causes us to begin to live by faith and not by sight. That is the transformation that He desires to do in us. You know, this word transform that we read in this scripture, today we use that word today in English. It's metamorphosis. That's what that word transform means. And we use that word, if you go back to like year two biology, we use that word to talk about the transformation that happens to a caterpillar when it goes into that cocoon and it comes out as a butterfly. There is a transformation that happens in that creature. It goes in one form and it comes out in a completely different form. And that is the transformation that this scripture is talking about. It's a complete renewal of our minds. We might look the same on the outside, but on the inside, things are shifting and things are changing. And we're becoming the kind of people that live by faith and not by sight. We become the kind of people that God is calling us to be. When I was pregnant with Toby, he's my first child, I ordered some pregnancy pants online and they arrived in the mail, and I remember bringing them into our bedroom and unpacking them and showing Mark and holding the pants up and saying to Mark, I am never going to fit in these pants. I'd bought these pants right at the beginning of my pregnancy. I was hardly even showing at all. And I'm holding these pants up and saying, I am never going to wear these. I think I need to return them. They are way too big. My husband is very wise. He didn't say a word. And I didn't return them. And I kept them. And I lived in them for the most part of my pregnancy. They fit me very well. And I shared that story with you today because I stretched and I grew in order to bring that new thing, that new life into the world. And God desires to do that transformation in us. You don't know how big you will grow. Not physically, don't get scared. It's not that kind of church. You don't know how big you're going to grow in faith as you allow God to do that renewal in you. You don't know how much you're going to carry in by faith. You don't know how much new things you're going to bring into the world because you've allowed the Lord to do that renewing work in your mind that is taking you from being a person who lives by sight to being a person who lives by faith. We need to put the doubt out and bring the faith in. We need to put the doubt out and we need to what? Bring the faith in. That is what the Lord is calling us to do. That is what the Lord is calling us to do. And you know, we've already touched on it today, but the secret to putting the doubt out in your life is to live intimately with Jesus. It is to have that close relationship with Him. That is what will help us to put the doubt out and bring the faith in. As the band joins me, in Hebrews it says this, in 11 verse 6, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. That is God's desire for us. That is the reward that we find when we come to Him, when we seek Him out. We learn to live by faith and not by sight. We learn how to put the doubt out and bring the faith in. We learn how to become the kind of people who start to live in that space of more than we can ask, think, or imagine because of the power of God that's working in us and working through us. That is the key to living that kind of life where you start to see breakthrough. That is the key to living that kind of life where you can stand firm in your faith even when everything around you is falling apart. Even when your prayer doesn't seem to be answered, even when that thing is not changing, even when that sickness is not going, even when your relationship's not restored, even when that promotion doesn't come, you can still stand firm in your faith.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.